Insider here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. My name is Mike Chambers. Our guest this evening is Mr. Robin Horton, and we're looking into the events regarding the air traffic control system on the morning of September 11th, 2001. Okay, Robin, we've got a short segment here of about 4 minutes.
Let's start
diving into this, and we'll come back. We have about 15 minutes on the other side. Take a couple of minutes here and kind of just wet our whistle a little bit with what you've uncovered and how it all plays in.
All right, I got an idea on how to do this. I'll bring your listeners along here. An air traffic controller is like a state patrol guy on the highway. If the state patrol guy on the highway sees a car, okay, coming down the road, weaving left and right, okay, 40 miles an hour over the speed limit, drives off the road, then drives back on the road, the cop is going to sit there and say, this vehicle is not the normal vehicle. I think I need to do something and look into this. All four of those airliners that were eventually declared a hijack that day were seen as being aberrant flights before they were considered to be hijacked, okay? And that's a really important thing. They were in-flight emergencies. Each aircraft showed air traffic controllers that there may be some really aberrant and problematic things going on in those flights. That is an in-flight emergency. In-flight emergencies are handled between the air traffic controller, basically, and the NORAD, the nearest NORAD base, because then they can scramble aircraft up to the sky and get them off the wingtip, take a look at the cockpit, see what's going on. So that's what should have happened that day. But the way the rules were reorganized in June of 2001, 3 months before that, is that all scrambles were subtly changed away from in-flight emergency scrambles into the hijack protocol scrambles. And the hijack protocol scrambles, because it had an international and a long-term aspect to it, okay, because that's where the original hijackers were, long-term flights, take me to Cuba or whatever it might be. The hijack scramble protocols required Pentagon approval, and the phone calls were made to the military that day, but nobody picked up the phone at the Pentagon to try to get these fighters off the ground. And we have done detailed research on the timing, the phone calls, and all of this kind of stuff, and we have proven that the military's timeline, which they have changed three times to try to cover their rear ends, okay, none of the timelines are accurate. The timelines could have been discovered and brought forward, but the FBI has grabbed all of the tapes, and the air traffic controllers, to my knowledge, have been instructed not to talk about this issue. And so I think as time goes on, we're going to get more and more people talking more and more about it. So I hope that you people who are listening can understand that before those aircraft were hijacked, they were noticed by the state troopers, okay, the air traffic controllers, that they were in trouble. And I believe that calls were made right then, right there, to try to get the military to help, because it's the FAA air traffic controllers who have the responsibility as the first responder to be able to authorize or demand the military to help them out. Payne Stewart's flight, where there were some fighters eventually scrambled on right to its wing is a late example. And I myself have been credited with what we call a save, because I helped save the radar vectoring, whatever. We got a military aircraft up to save a twin-engine Apache and the two occupants by a veteran aircraft who was suffering a massive electrical failure. He didn't know it. We did. And we put a C-119 right on its nose and let it down to the ground.
Back in a minute with Robin Horton on the other side here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Tonight is Robin Horton, and we're talking about the events of September 11th, 2001, regarding the air traffic control system in this country. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have a question for Robin, our number is 800-313-9443. That number again, 800-313-9443. So, Robin, essentially, the civilian aspect of the air traffic control system did not fail. They did their job. The failures happened up the line.
You're correct, Mike. And actually, the name of the speech or the presentation that I gave up in Vancouver, British Columbia, is called It's the Civilians Stupid. And the reason that I chose that is because when the military people or people were evaluating what would happen if this attack happened this way, they found that the civilians were a problem. They could control and ship and order and shape and And as we all know, there are so many war games on that day. They could manage the military system to provide all of the cover. But the Pentagon had a real hard time getting out into reaching into changing civilian conduct. And I'll give you three examples. The main problem was to get the FAA, okay, the air traffic controller, somehow to prioritize using a slow scramble protocol, which was the hijack protocol. So as soon as the Bush regime took office in 2001, they put a general in head named Canavan, Mike Canavan, into the FAA at the head of airline security. Now, I believe that he, one way or another, helped grease the skids for a change that came about in June of 2001, where the protocols were really narrowed from having two protocols, which was an in-flight emergency, immediate scrambled protocol, where the fighters got off the ground at the blink of an eye, versus the hijack protocol, which is they just take their time, and when they get there, they get there. And I believe that he affected that change within the FAA. So a good FAA or civilian person, if that person were to lead aviation security in the FAA, if it were a civilian, they would never, ever accept a protocol change that would add 15, 20, 30, an hour to how rapidly some fighters could get off the ground to help a possible in-flight emergency. An FAA person, a civilian, would never do that. They would say, no way, I can't help save this flight with this new protocol. But a military guy, good. So they shifted Canavan into the aviation security, head of the aviation security in the FAA. Okay, military guy and the civilian. That military guy created a system where the FAA now was subtly, very carefully through briefings, is my postulation, that whenever any scramble for anything was required of the fighters, okay, of the NORAD fighters, that it had to be approved by the Pentagon first. Now, here is some startling proof. Up until June, the year before, I think it was at some time, 6 months before, until June of 2001, there were, I believe, 67 scrambles reported. Okay? Normal. 10 years earlier, there were 1,500 scrambles, about 150 a year. Normal profile. From June until September 11th, zero scrambles were reported.
Wow.
Zero. Okay? And then, obviously, on September 11th and beyond, they went back to the original protocol, which is get these birds in the air, get them on the tail of whatever is a suspicious aircraft up there, and do it now, and don't talk to the Pentagon. Get it done first, get it done immediately, and we'll talk about the details later. And that's what the change was made, that was made, Mike, and that's what I'm bringing forward into the movement.
And so, and then you have a scapegoat in the air traffic control system itself saying, look, they were slow to react and slow to respond. We did what we could do.
Right. And that's why the military changed the story three times to set up the FAA. And that's what my inside information said. Wait a minute. Hold it. We were on duty doing our protocols. We were even inventing our own protocols. The bottom line of the story is the telephone calls were made to the Pentagon, and Rummy's military didn't pick them up to get the birds in the air. That's the bottom line of the story that day. That would be like the same scenario where I talked about the highway patrol cop car sitting there under the bridge, radar on. He sees the weaving car, the car going 50 miles an hour too fast. It goes off the road. It comes back on the road. This car is in trouble, just like the aircraft were all in trouble. But the new protocol would be that he had to call into headquarters to get approval to race off after this car. That's what the protocol was changed to in June of 2001. That cop couldn't do his job. He had to get approval. Air traffic controllers couldn't do their job. They had to get Pentagon approval. Well, who's sitting in the Pentagon? The military. Of course they're not going to answer the phone.
Well, they're having their morning coffee and a cigar, and we don't take calls before 9. Sorry.
Mike, and so therefore, if the controllers had been able to do their job as it was before June,
right,
the fighters would have been off the ground in a minute, and they would have been shot down. Mike, I want to say this again. They would have been shot down. These fighter pilots are trained, they're armed, they're skilled, they make a decision, okay? And their job and responsibility is to save as much damage to property and country as possible. They would make a last-minute decision on American 11, American United 175, American 7. Well, I never even trailed an American 77. That's a different story. And then, actually, I think they may have shot down United 93. So the point is, the point of the matter is that we had the system in place before June. It was basically castrated in June by the military. Another example that can be given about detuning civilians is that watch list for suspicious passengers, okay, that was developed by the FAA ended up somewhere on a FAA supervisor's desk and never got passed out to all of the airline security and ticketing checkpoints because and it had contained four or five of the names of the people who were suspicious. And had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 names come up who are on this new watch list, then the entire system would have kicked into a higher level of scrutiny, and there's a very good chance that none of the hijackers, if there were hijackers that got on the plane, okay, would have actually gotten on the plane. So one way or another, the upper levels of the FAA were changed in some fashion so that they disabled civilians to do their job.
That's incredible. I mean, it's. But again, it's incredible from the standpoint of knowing that this could have been stopped, this could have been prevented, but at the same time, knowing that these psychopaths and criminals are running the show, that this is how they do it, and then place the blame on others, and actually get away with it. I mean, they've gotten away with this, Robin. I mean, for 6 years now, they've passed it off and passed it off, and then if you say anything against them, you're a terrorist. If you're against the war,
right,
you're a terrorist.
But, Mike, I don't agree that they've gotten away with it. We've caught them. This cabal, the Bush regime, can't wait to get out of town. They would love, as I said before, to be impeached because they could shut the investigations into the whorish Congress, okay? We got them. I'm telling you, Mike, we have these guys. Now, whether we're going to ever hang those guys or whatever, but the system has been, exposed. And to your listeners, if anybody wants to jump on board and start to get upgraded, although I suspect most have a good handle on this, I can't recommend any higher the works of David Ray Griffin as far as books are concerned, because this guy really has got his arms around it real well, and it starts off with the new Pearl Harbor, and then he debunks he really wipes out the commission report with 9/11 commission omissions and distortions, and his latest book is Debunking 9/11 Debunking, and Griffin wipes out the military, even left-wing gatekeepers, mainstream media, Vanity Fair, Popular Mechanics. There's nobody left standing because all of their efforts to debunk what we're doing, okay, have been completely wiped out. So, Mike, I got to tell you, man, I'm on the street, and every single week, more and more people are getting it. Oh, they did this. All you have to do is mention that Roosevelt knew Pearl Harbor, that McNamara has finally admitted, that the Gulf of Tonkin wasn't real, that Spanish-American War was self-induced. We got it, and like Alex Jones, this is where his brilliance is he did a beautiful job in the first half of Terrorstone. Just a brilliant piece, okay, in developing the false flag text.
All right, we're going to grab a break here. Our guest is Robin Horton. If you'd like to join the conversation tonight here on the Midnight Rider, the number is 800-313-9443. back in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
I won't take all that they hand me down. They kind of smile, though I will frown. And I'm not gonna take it all lying down. Cause once I get started, I go to town. Cause I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else.
800-313-9443 is the number if you'd like to participate with us here on the Midnight Rider. Let's go quickly to the phone. Malcolm in Illinois, you're on the Midnight Rider. Welcome to the program. Are you there, Malcolm?
I'm here.
Hey, what's your question for Robin?
I guess it could be put into the question what I was going to ask him.
Okay, you got a comment? That's fine too.
Yeah, it was the helicopters. I wanted to bring the attention of those helicopters that hovered over the towers. If you notice that each case when both the towers came down, there was the helicopter approached them. I was thinking that it's possible that it could have been some remote from the helicopter, that when it approached, the towers just, you know, they just started to collapse. You know, have you ever thought about that?
What do you mean, the wind off the rotors causing them to collapse, or?
No, like someone with remote control could have had a remote control on the helicopters, and when they was approaching one of the towers, they press something, and then the towers start exploding from the top on down. In both cases, when the towers came down, there was a black helicopter approaching them.
Yeah.
In both cases.
Right. Malcolm, I think I can... there's been a lot of speculation about the towers coming down and remote controls and whatever, and this is what I've got to say to you. Regarding the helicopters remote control, number one, it's not unusual that there would be helicopters around that event. There are traffic helicopters that fly around the New York City area all of the time, okay?
And
so, number one, that's not that unusual. Number two, you don't have to be right beside the towers to have remote control of the destruction if that were the case.
Mm-hmm.
You could be anywhere, really.
Right. Right.
And there are a lot of speculation from high above and a circling control aircraft to people, you know, in World Trade Center 7, which I'm not sure you know, but that came down at 5:20
right.
in the afternoon, okay, to other locations in apartment houses around in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of speculation about that.
Right.
But I will, when we talk about remote control, being a pilot and an air traffic controller, There's some dialogue about swapping planes being taken over by remote control, and a lot of this research just needs to have a lot more done on it.
Back to the helicopters that were supposed to be rescued, and now from what I heard, the research that I saw is that a lot of the helicopters was told to back off. I mean, the one that was there to rescue was told to back off.
I had heard of that, and my understanding of it was in previous time in some previous cases where it had been done, it was not a part of an established NYFD protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And that those guys, because of the high level of smoke coming up, they wanted to get in, but they were ordered back for their own safety because of the fact that there was so much smoke there, they wouldn't have been able to see what they were doing. It would have been easy for them to get caught in an air conditioning unit or something that was up there, on the top, and it would have caused more damage and more people to lose their lives.
I understand that. And then back to what you were saying about not calling for the planes to take action. I know you all have heard about this testimony this man had gave about Dick Cheney telling the young man to... the order stands to keep the planes from, to keep the Air Force from going in the sky to intercept those planes. Cheney told them to stand down. You heard of that?
Yes, I have. And, again, anything that has to do with the Pentagon and Flight 77, which I think is the Achilles heel or the big problem with the military, is yet to be finally discovered. My personal experience with Dick Cheney is... when he opens his mouth, psyops and lies come out. So I'm not real sure that that wasn't just a little story. But if it is as he says, and he did instruct and his instructions meant something, what the instructions meant was most likely had to do with keeping the anti-aircraft missile defense system disabled while this craft or whatever it was that was approaching the Pentagon was able to come into it. But on the bigger picture down at the Pentagon, Malcolm, you have to back out and you have to say and ask yourself the question, how can the world's highest paid military allow anything to happen at its main headquarters?
Yeah, exactly.
As a function of a breakdown of security. And, Malcolm, I don't care what security was broken down. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's just like, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. That security should have been on high alert at all times.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it had to be an inside help, but people just,
right.
Let it happen.
That's right. That's part of it is let it happen. Part of it was planning it ahead. Part of it was conveniently... turning away. There were half a dozen top-level people in the federal government who were out of town that day. There's a whole bunch of very interesting things.
And plus again, the multiple cameras on the Pentagon that they not let us
know.
We've not seen that. Malcolm, thanks for your call. Going to grab a break. On the other side, we'll talk to Dan in California, plus you at 800-313-9443. This is the Midnight Rider.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes medium mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Midnight Rider. We're going to go ahead and head straight back to the phone for our guest, Robin Horton. Dan, the man in California, you're on the program. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening. Great show again.
Thank you.
It's my understanding that at the time of 9/11, that Mineta was head of the FAA, and I saw a clip not long ago where he was, I believe, giving testimony under oath, where he was in the basement of the White House with Dick Cheney. And every now and then, an aide would come in and say, Mr. Vice President, you know, the planes are 40 minutes away. Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, the planes are 30 minutes away. The planes are 20 minutes away. And his response was, the order still stands. And that, of course, was the order to stand down. That is just such damning testimony. And I was wondering if you had any comment on that and whether Mineta is actually still head of the FAA.
I'm not sure that he still is, but I believe he was then. I do have a lot of comments on that. And, again, I'm going to just preface everything by saying that we are still researching information. And everything that has to do with American Flight 77 is absolutely fascinating. because I believe that this was their own false flag flight. We can talk about that later. But what Mineta and Cheney said down in the PEOC was indeed exactly as you had expressed. And given at face value, expresses exactly what your conclusion is. My problem is that it is so, this particular little story just came out of the PEOC intact and has been repeated time and time again, so much so that my instincts about my government lying to me, you know, it's just like, whoop, red flags. So I'm not sure that that wasn't a little story to be told. But there's something deeper behind that whole operation, Dan, that as an air traffic controller I'm looking at, and the perfect way to remind anybody who was deeply seated in the 9/11 truth movement to just never, ever take your fangs out of American 77. It is the one that's going to really bring these guys down. The question that I have as an air traffic controller is, what radar facility was the information, okay, derived from the aide that was coming in repeatedly to tell Cheney this information? There has been no testimony that it is an FAA facility. The only information that we have is from Dulles Approach Control. There's no testimony saying that they were the one giving it. When you break down more information about the flight maneuver on American 77 with that 330-degree descending turn, you find out that the aircraft was known to be at 7,000 feet when it started that turn. How does anybody know that it was at 7,000 feet? Okay? Because if it were American 77, it turned off its transponder and was lost to full radar contact, by the way, in eastern Ohio. Okay, and this primary target was seen by Danielle O'Brien at Dulles Approach, approaching the Pentagon and making that turn. Primary target does not give altitude information. But there is another transponder, military transponder system on some aircraft, military aircraft, called IFF. And it is not seen by the FAA radar, but it does transmit altitude information. So if the source of the radar information and the position of this aircraft or whatever it was approaching the Pentagon wasn't the FAA, but it was the military, meaning that they could see its altitude, the question that I'm saying to you is, and I'm asking the 9/11 truth movement to keep their eyes and ears open about, is, well, if it was a military outfit tracking that particular flight, how long have they been tracking it? You know, what do they know? What more can we find out about this information? So that is a fascinating, fascinating story. This whole thing about American 77 with the PEOC leads right up to the White House, COG, which is continuation of government, you know, one of the most evil people that we've ever run into in our life, which is Dick Cheney. It is a fascinating story. And I don't know whether you think there's enough evidence at the Pentagon to think that a real Boeing 757 hit it or not, but it sure doesn't look like it.
I have a very hard time believing that an aircraft hit that building.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know a woman named Barbara Honiger. She's really doing some great work. She has been able to put some information together here and that shows that the first explosion at the Pentagon was at 9:32. Which is 4 minutes before the revised time that the military finally gave us on American 77 hitting, or allegedly hitting, the Pentagon. Just think about that for a minute. It's the same thing as the explosions ahead of the collapses at the World Trade Centers. If this 9:32 time proves out, and I've read her work, it's very, very influential.
Really is, yeah.
It certainly reeks of scripting, like so much of this whole debacle does.
Well, let me throw a little thought into this, and let's add to the conversation here. I have always thought that the attack on the Pentagon, whether it was a plane or whether it was explosion, whether it was a missile or what, I've always thought that the Pentagon was a late addition to the whole operation, due to the fact it was September 10th. You have Rumsfeld in a press conference giving information that $2.3 trillion is missing, and the very portion of the Pentagon is hit is where all the records and information regarding this $2.3 million is housed at.
Oh my God! It just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper.
Robin, what are your thoughts on that?
Mike, I'm concurrent with you about that, with the exception of the fact that I don't agree that it was a late addition. I actually think, and if you know Chip Burlingame, who was the pilot of American 77,
right,
do you know that 2 years earlier he was part of the Red Team, Blue Team analysis of what would happen if an airliner were hijacked and ran into the Pentagon 2 years earlier? Now,
right,
that's a very interesting coincidence.
Right.
What are the odds of that?
Yeah.
And here you have Burlingame on Flight 77, and the phone call, if you want to take the phone calls as real, Ted Olson receives a phone call from his wife, Barbara Olson. She says that she's standing there with the captain, and he wants to know what to do. This is a guy that's 6 foot plus, 250-some-odd pounds. He's a Vietnam vet. He's an anti-terror guy. So first off, the chances of him giving up his plane at all is slim and none, because the protocol for pilots in a hijack situation is not to give up the airplane. It's agreed to fly them wherever they want to go.
Mike, I'm completely in concurrent in agreement with you, and his Burlingame's family has said, that's not my Chip Burlingame. They would have to carry him out dead to do that. And, Mike, I got 1,600 hours in the air. You think I would, like, let somebody, you know, without resistance, take over the aircraft? No. You don't know. No. That doesn't happen.
Well, and especially in the situation, too, where, Robin and Dan, where to stop the hijacking right there with these guys with box cutters, all you got to do is roll the plane over on its side. Hijacking's over.
Bingo. All sorts of things. And these guys are good, okay? Most of the military. Now, this is where the pilots work on Pandora's Box 2, Pandora's Black Box 2nd version, okay, has uncovered some very interesting information given to them by the federal government, whereas what they see is that as far as the flight data recorder and some of the information is concerned, the aircraft never got low enough to hit the Pentagon, and it flew over. Now we got Honiger checking in that the explosion at the Pentagon was 4 minutes prior, okay, to that aircraft arriving to that point. Then you kick in the FBI, slant, Secret Service, whoever agents were combing the lawn, picking up evidence, okay, and bagging it and getting it out of there right away before anybody else could do it. And you sit there and you say, well, if the explosions at the Pentagon were 4 minutes earlier, that means they had to be planted, okay?
Right.
It's da-da-da-da-da-da. So, again, it like Dan says, it fits this particular pattern of the way they construct these events. And so I maintain it's really fascinating.
Robin,
Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Somewhere you would think within the FAA there would be a picture on tape or film or something of this plane going somewhere else.
Okay, that's a great. You're talking about American 77 and where it might have gone.
Right.
Where did it
end up?
Dan, thank you for the lead-in. This is again where on 9/11, 2001, on that day, that afternoon, when it dawned on me this was an inside deal, one of the elements that I picked up that day or right after that was the fact that American 77 was the only airliner, the only one that was totally lost to radar contact, and that was in eastern Ohio. Then the Dulles approach controller, Danielle O'Brien, was told by her supervisor to keep on the alert. Now, this is like 100, 200, 150 miles east of where American 77 was lost to radar contact. Gone. Primary, secondary, nothing left, okay? Now, all of a sudden, you know, 30 minutes later, Danielle O'Brien's supervisor comes over and says, you know, keep your eye out for a primary, high-speed primary target. Bing! A couple minutes later, one pops up. Let me draw you back to the original question about the military aide briefing Cheney. Where was he getting that radar data? Where did this supervisor, Danielle O'Brien's supervisor, maybe get this information that there might be a primary target coming here? Bing! This primary target pops up. Okay, American 11 followed all the way into WTC-1. United 175 followed all the way into WTC-2. United 93 followed all the way to Shanksville or something, okay? American 77 lost to radar contact in western Ohio, eastern Ohio. So here's the way that I'm answering that and just being a professional, okay?
Okay.
I don't know where American 77, the bodies, the aircraft went, but I know where to start to look for it. And you start looking for it in eastern Ohio, okay? Because that could have been any target whatsoever. It could have been a missile. It could have been a drone. It could have been an old war plane. It could have been American 77 that Danielle O'Brien saw. So that's the only curious flight in that it was lost to radar contact. And that is, in an air traffic controller's point of view, that's a huge term. That's like if you were in the court of law and you were being charged of murdering somebody and it was some complete other person that did it and you're sitting there saying, but you don't identify me.
Right.
And that's the same issue with American Flight 77. And I never want the 9/11 truthers to just diss this information. This information about American 77 being lost to total radar contact is just as big as Steve Jones's Thermate stuff in explaining how the buildings came down, were torched.
Very interesting. I'm going to get off the line now and let you guys finish up or go or continue, but thank you so much. It's
great question, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Dan. And, you know, and what even further complicates the whole Pentagon story, Robin, is the fact that you have April Gallup, who was there with her son about to take him to daycare that morning. Her office was right by where this explosion supposedly occurred at 9:32. She crawls out of the hole supposedly created by Flight 77. Now, if you've got an aircraft on fire that is, you know, that's hit this building at 540 knots, I think is the speed, close to 600 miles an hour. You're gonna have something, you know. And she crawls out the hole, and she said she doesn't see a plane.
Right. And I believe that her wristwatch was stopped at 9:32.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this, Robin? Is it possible that the reemergence of Flight 77 was nothing more than an input?
No, I don't believe that was an input. Let me answer this. It possibly could have been an input, but I doubt it, because you can't have inputs onto FAA radar.
Ah.
See? The inputs that everybody is talking about are computerized, generated inputs into the NORAD scopes for training purposes.
I see.
You never put inputs into a real FAA air traffic controller scope. Okay. So let me explain that a little bit.
Hold on, Robin. Here's an additional question. Did Flight 77 ever reappear on FAA radar?
A primary radar target appeared west of Dulles, noticed by Danielle O'Brien just after supervisor asked her to do that. Mike, nobody anywhere ever took the steps that an air traffic controller has to take to positively re-identify or to identify an aircraft that does not have a transponder. It's called a primary target. There are two or three, four steps that a radar controller can do to identify a radar target, positively identify a primary target as being the aircraft, and those all require communications with the pilot. Nobody ever talked to American 77 again after it was lost to radar and went NORDO. We talked about that earlier.
Right.
Made a left turn, began to descend, okay, and was lost to radar contact in eastern Ohio. Now, just for your information, it is a well-established, and I've handled these myself in the FAA during my time, it is a well-established procedure in Air Force operations to be able to run low-altitude bombing routes. So just postulating now, if American 77 eventually was replaced by some other air vehicle, which is possible, may not be, okay, and American 77 dumped all the way to treetop level in eastern Ohio, treetop level, below all radar, okay, you can create and pre-program routes. Do I still have it here?
Yeah.
Okay.
10 seconds.
You can recreate routes that take you away from cities, away from highways, away from farmhouses, away from everything. And you scamper, 200 feet above the ground for 3 or 4 miles, and then, you pop up your VFR aircraft someplace.
Oh, wow. Back in a minute with our final moments with Robin Horton. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're listening to The Midnight Rider.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
All right, final few minutes with our guest, Robin Horton. We're going to run right to the phone. Dan in Texas, welcome to the show. You're on.
Yes, sir. So I was in the military when the air traffic control got shut down. And did that put the country in danger? I mean, do we have guys like me doing that? They didn't know what they're doing to being air traffic controllers. Is there a big shortage to cause a dangerous situation for the lives of people flying airplanes?
Dan, would you? I'm not sure what you mean. You don't mean by attack, but will you mean by overload?
Yeah, like there's not enough guys to do the job in the control towers.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The Republican regime that's in right now is trying to make governmental programs work very, very badly. I was at a NATCA, National Air Traffic Controller Association, annual meeting at Washington, D.C. last year, and I got a really good firsthand. I told them I was a PACO guy, and they let me in, and were very, very gracious and stuff. And the same complaints that we had back in 1981, they have now. The Bush regime, excuse me, and the Republicans do not want government to work. So there is a shortage. And I went out on strike in 1981 so that I could work 32 hours a week. Excuse me. And it wasn't the money. It was the overload and the stress. And these guys are just collaring the same thing. So are you when you say, you know, are you under, some possible, situations that are problematic? The answer is yes. Absolutely. They're understaffing. When you overwork an air traffic controller, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. You need to be at 110%, 110% of the time when you're a controller. And that's it. And if you're tired and you're beaten, you're at your sixth day, man, you shouldn't even give these people a microphone. Yeah. And the air traffic is now rising. Yeah, you're under trouble. And what the Bush regime wants to do is privatize it all. So that their friends can take over air traffic control and then charge people and then they make a huge profit.
And those companies cut the number of controllers on duty even more.
Yes, they
to increase
do.
The bottom line.
Yes, they do. You have got that correct. It has got mm-hmm. nothing to do with safety. It has to do with profit.
Right.
So Dan, you're on it.
I was in a Whidbey Island Naval Air Station near Canada when this was. Was it 70 or 71 when it happened?
81.
81?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Wow, okay.
Reagan had only been president a few months.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, you should see the letter of support that I have personally written by him to us. We will support you.
Yeah, we'll support you right on out the door. Yeah, indeed. Dan, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Well, Reagan was actually a big union man, though, wasn't he, overall?
No. He was an informant to J. Edgar Hitler and the FBI. He led the Screen Actors Guild, but he was an informant to seek out and to rat on possible communists in there.
Another guy on the show a while back, he said they called him Red Ron because he was a communist.
I think that was some of the same psyops that we're dealing with right today.
Yeah, Dan, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And the thing is, folks, Republicans have never been for the Constitution and conservative government. They've always been about big business. Always have.
Yeah.
And it's just sad that we're having to find it out this
year. Yeah, time. No. And, I the people should be proud of their pilots and the air traffic controllers and the system and their cops and their firemen and their doctors and just everybody, because, these are good people. They're working really, really hard, and they're not crying wolf and you know, we have runway incursions all the time. And just, if anybody wants to get an eyeful, one of the nice things that happened at the National Air Traffic Controllers Association conference in Washington, D.C., is they hand out a dozen or so awards to the unsung heroes who save lives in airplanes, and they save mid-air collisions, and they save crashes, and they have little stories, and they show it. And the controllers that get up there say, yeah, well, that's just my job, no problem.
Dan, Robin, thanks so much for being on the program. We need to do it again.
No problem.
An excellent show and great information, and thanks for coming on. Folks, that's going to wrap it up tonight. Hey, find somebody you love and tell them you love them. Spend some time with your kids, your friends, your family. Folks, that's why we're fighting to save this country. Everybody have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow night. With